Isn't this a sports show?
She broke my heart once again. I should have known she would trade another man.
Almost entirely.
Oh, I don't want to get too savvy. With my heart on my sleeve, the Chiefs hate it when I'm happy.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I don't care anymore. I'm dead inside.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the tale's old as time, song as old as rhyme.
Chiefs losing before their cast-offs playoff.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We've got that standing energy for the show today. I walked into the studio the last possible second, and I just forgot to sit down. We might do this whole segment on my feet today. We got a lot of energy. We have an appropriately emo intro. We have something like 3 hours for you here tonight.
You're wearing a black shirt.
I am, and that means I'm sad.
Do you want me to put my hoodie up?
Please do.
Okay.
Out of respect, we're covering our heads. We're both wearing hats. Out of respect for the tragedy that happened Sunday night, the Chiefs lose a home game prime time to a team whose best offense was Bashaud Breeland running into one of their receivers 53 yards downfield. And man, I gotta tell you, we did a emergency edition of AES just for the Facebook page and the podcast yesterday, because I needed to continue talking about this. Me and Brad Porter did the post game show immediately following the game here on A10. We went until 1 in the morning, and I still feel like I am yelling into the void, trying to explain things that some people either haven't been able to piece together or don't want to understand, or whatever the ailment may be. I feel like at this point, I may be in a fist fight with a punching bag. I'm going to keep wailing on it, and it's never going to get tired, and it's never going to hit me back. And maybe we're all just wasting each other's time. I don't think that last part is true, but tonight will be probably my final valiant effort. After already doing like four different mediums, talking into a microphone, trying to make you understand where I'm coming from. Tonight, I will continue to do that. I might only even do that for one more segment. I don't know. I'll have the help of Seth Kaiser of The Athletic here in an hour. Beards McFly has our first Chiefs edition of Sad Fans on Reddit. Beards told me before the show that he had to add more music to cover all the sadness.
I think the initial final version was like 7 minutes and 30 seconds. My music bed is 6 minutes long. I cut out like 30 seconds and wasn't really able to trim anymore.
So it's the longest.
Yes.
It's the longest Sad Fans we've ever had. I haven't heard it yet. Last week I heard it and was pretty sure he missed a bleep. Do you feel more confident in your censorship this week?
I'm good. Yeah.
Last week, there were a couple of touchy ones. But we will play that for you here sometime this hour, coming up soon. And then, again, Seth at 8. But I've got a few narratives I think we need to discuss. And I think talking about narratives, you can have some straw man arguments there, right? Oh, nobody's really saying that. You're just trying to create something to fight against. And that can be the case. I promise you, though, everything I've got for you here tonight is based on a true story. A phone call or a tweet or a conversation or a text. These are all based on real characters. And I'm sure there'll be people listening right now that are going to have counterpoints to the counterpoints. And if you do, you can always tweet me at JB Briscoe, Beard is at Beards McFly. You can text the show at 913-912-4810. Beards will keep an eye on those. Also, by the way, if you're listening live and not to the podcast after the fact, we will bring you some live listen-ins to the ALDS game happening right now with the Astros and Rays. We'll get out of the way for some baseball every once in a while around here throughout the rest of tonight. If you're listening on the podcast, there's just going to be, you know, sections where I say, I'm going to never come back. You'll hear baseball, and then you'll just hear imaging. And we'll say, oh, there was some baseball. Baseball happened. Houston and Tampa both baseballed. Back to the Chiefs. If you're listening live, we'll get you some ALDS listen-ins at some point tonight, especially towards the end. Right now, it's the second inning, so honestly, this show might be over by the time it reaches, like, the sixth, because it's playoff baseball. We'll see. But some of the stuff from the game on Sunday night has left me wounded, just because I think we can generally, as a populace, do a better job of understanding what we saw and why we were seeing it. So that's my goal tonight, is to try to bridge that gap a little extra. Let's play fun with narratives. Here's one.
Do you need music for that?
No, I don't. Because it's the whole segment. I know what you wanted, Beards, but no, the whole segment is fun with narratives. Here's one. Aha! See? The run defense! It cost them the game! The Chiefs lost because the run defense was bad. Or even, I'll accept, the run defense was a major reason the Chiefs lost this game. Or even, the run defense was a part of the reason the Chiefs lost this game. All the things we talked about last week, okay? All the stuff about the run defense and the specifically the Chiefs' run defense and the larger scope of the Kansas City Chiefs, the pass D, the actual offense altogether. You can go to the special teams, the coaching, and the vendors in the stands. And the grand scheme of the Kansas City Chiefs, the discussion that mostly Seth and I were having last week was the run defense is way less of a problem than the pass defense. And really, the run D, even for the Lions and for everyone all season long, the opposing teams have lost expected points added when they've run the ball while having great success throwing it. By the way, the pass defense was much better in this game. I don't know if it was a Brissett thing or a scheme thing or whatever, but it was much better with the exception of the penalties. Everything we said last week about the Chiefs' run defense, it was all just as true in a loss as it was in the four wins, which is, I think, how you can know that your point is accurate. But it was just as true in a loss. You can play the result, but if you look at why that result came to be, you'll see that there wasn't a thing the Colts did on the ground that put the Chiefs in a disadvantageous place. That's just what the Colts did. When the Colts had the ball, it stayed on the ground, and that's fine. Because that didn't put the game out of reach for the Chiefs. The run defense does matter on stuff like 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, goal line situations, and whenever you need the ball back at the end of a game, or even I'll give you the end of a half, right? If you're trying to get the ball back with 5 minutes left in the game, you would like the opposing team to be throwing the ball instead of running it. In those places, again, running games matter situationally, but it's like how the corkscrew on a Swiss Army knife, that matters whenever you're trying to open a bottle of wine. I feel like I've been largely surrounded by people who are trying to explain to me how actually that corkscrew is the most important thing on there. No, it's not. You don't use it. You use it every once in a while. You use it in a situation. Bottle of wine, need it opened, perfect. Swiss Army knife. But it's not one of the blades. It's not even the toothpick. The running game absolutely matters in situations. The run defense then matters whenever it's advantageous to stop it in those situations. The Colts ran the ball 45 times on Sunday night, and they did that to the tune of 19 points and 4 yards a carry. Their biggest running play, explosive running plays, would also knock me off my spot a little bit, right? Big explosive running play, it will often be offset by the little short runs that don't really matter that much. But a few big explosive running plays, that moves the needle. Of course it does. The Colts had one. They had a 30-yard run early in the game. I believe it was the first drive where Darren Lee had a... It might have been a tough play, but he could have taken an angle there. And if he trips up Marlon Mack at the line of scrimmage, that's a 4-yard run instead of a 30-yard run. And this stat line is even more hysterical to try to use as the thing that cost the Chiefs the game. Say, well, but they won the time of possession. Time of possession doesn't matter. Well, you said that number of possessions matters. Checkmate. It does. Time of possession is irrelevant to me, but number of possessions absolutely matters. Because whenever you have more possessions, you have a lower chance of randomization. You have a greater sample size. You know who's good in baseball every year because they play 9,000 games. So you get these 100 loss teams that all stink and these 100 win teams that are all very, very good. What happens in the playoffs? Crazy bleep. Even whenever you're playing a 5 or a 7 game series, these wild card games, these one and done games, is one 162nd of a season the baseball plays. In football, every game's obviously one and done, but you play 16 regular season games. It's not a huge sample size. Larger sample size means a more consistent metric at the end, right? That all makes sense. I think everyone understands that. So if you're the better team and you think you're, especially if you think your offense is better, you want to have as many possessions as possible. That's why scoring too fast is garbage. Like, that's a garbage argument. If the Chiefs could get 20 possessions a game, I'm sure they would love it. Because the theory there is that the Chiefs' offense will be better than whatever offense they're going up against. So more possessions for both teams means you're going to see evidence of the Chiefs being the better offense whenever you have a larger sample size. I would argue that, again, all the stuff about the run defense and also the number of possessions was not only just as true in a loss as it was in a win. This loss makes it even more outlandishly evident that this is not a way to beat the Chiefs. If you completely remove Colts defense versus Chiefs offense, I'm just talking about Colts offense versus Chiefs defense, and more specifically, Colts running game versus Chiefs running defense, okay? Time of possession and all that, again, I'll tell you number of possessions matters. Even then, though, you usually end up with the same number for each team because whenever you score, you have to give it back. It's not make it, take it, which I feel like a lot of people have maybe missed the boat on. I went back and looked at every game the Chiefs have played this season for number of possessions because I wanted to see, did the Colts do something here that I didn't expect? Did the Colts take the ball out of the Chiefs' hands often enough that it got real random? Here's what I found. The Chiefs had 8 possessions with Patrick Mahomes against the Jags. I'll explain why with Patrick Mahomes and some of these caveats I'll explain in a minute. But it was 8 possessions with Patrick Mahomes against the Jags in which they put up 37 points. Against Baltimore, 10 possessions but 1 kneel down, 33 points. Raiders, 11 possessions, 1 kneel down, 28 points. Lions, 11 possessions, 24 points. A bunch of turnovers in that game. And then against Indy, 10 possessions with 1 kneel down and only 13 points. So I've now come up with a cutesy stat called possessions trying to score. If Matt Moore is your quarterback voluntarily, or you are kneeling the ball at the end of the half or a game, you're not trying to get points there. So I'm not counting that. I'm not counting it against the Colts either. The Chiefs took a knee at the end of the half, and I'm not counting that as a full possession. I think that would be intellectually dishonest. So if you go possessions trying to score here, which you don't need to do this for the point to stand, but I think this is a more precise way of doing it. The Chiefs had 8 possessions trying to score against the Jags, 9 against the Ravens, 10 against the Raiders, 11 against the Lions, and 9 against the Colts. They had the same number of possessions as they did against Baltimore. But in one of those games, 33 points put up offensively as opposed to 13. The Colts didn't take away half of the Chiefs' possessions. This isn't a three-point sharpshooter in the NBA trying to get off more shots to even out the distribution there of possibilities and probabilities. This isn't Steph Curry. This is an offense that got the same number of touches as it did against the Ravens. Part of that can also play, and maybe the game is a little slower even. I'll even give you this much, right? If they would have scored at some point or gone on longer drives of their own, maybe that drops down another notch, but it didn't. We're talking about the chances the Chiefs had. They had as many chances as they ultimately had against the Ravens, as many chances they ultimately had against the Jags, although I'm subtracting the Matt Moore ones because, again, I'm trying to be realistic here. One less than they did against the Raiders. Lions game was wild, and the Chiefs lost that possession battle because of the turnovers, because of Mecole Hardman returning the kickoff, right? And fumbling it there. There were lots of problems in this game for the Chiefs, and the run defense wasn't good. But that didn't change the result here, at least not one of the first several things that I think it's fair to point to. I saw Curtis tweeted out a stat Monday morning or Sunday night saying that the Chiefs have given up 180 plus yards on the ground in the last three games. I think that that has to be digested with the parenthetical of and went 2-1 doing it. It's not me saying that, oh, they should just give up all the yards in the ground that they want. I don't really care. What I'm saying is that, and I also don't mean to play the results because I think that's a flawed way of evaluating stuff, but I think that that shows you the 180 yards thing is 1-2 against the Chiefs. I would love a larger sample size of that. I mean, again, I'd rather them not give up 180 yards every week. But if they just did the rest of the year and went, whatever it would be, you know, 8-3 in that stretch or something like that. Wouldn't that begin to show you the larger picture of, oh, maybe that's not the thing that determines winning or losing? You can evaluate the run defense and find the problems, and I'll do that later on here in just a few minutes. But if you're going to have that be like, oh, you know what? I can predict this Chiefs game. Just show me what the run defense did, and I'll tell you if they won or lost this game. How many yards they run? They ran the ball 45 times. Chiefs lost. You would be guessing right with really flawed logic, because the Chiefs put up 13 points offensively. That's 50% of the output of the worst game this team has had in terms of scoring points with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. Do you see my frustration with that? This popped up in Seth Kaiser's article on The Athletic, and actually he and I had discussed this briefly before we knew that we were both thinking about it. I feel right now in this conversation like I did with the Chiefs-Steelers playoff game. I think they scored 12 points in that game. It was in the teens, or tens, I suppose. The Steelers won that game with field goals. The Colts won this game with field goals and one touchdown where Jacoby Brissett juked Anthony Hitchens out of his soul. And then in the week following that, it was, oh, the Chiefs couldn't stop the run. That was the thing. No, man, Alex Smith's offense and Andy Reid's offense, I guess to be fair, couldn't keep up with the Steelers' field goal kicker. Give me 20 points. And the thing with this offense, why I'm even maybe more exasperated with it now than I was in that playoff game, following that playoff game, I guess, is that this isn't supposed to happen with this team, right? We haven't seen this literally ever. It is literally the worst offensive performance of Patrick Mahomes' career by twofold. This is twice as bad as his previous worst scoring output. And so the fact that many people are looking away from that and circling back in on on a run defense that, again, is not good. The Chiefs' special teams haven't been good this year. No one's blaming that for the loss against the Colts. Like, why didn't they house one? The Chiefs' run defense will not save you. The defense as a whole will not bail out a bad offensive game. But I'm okay with that because that's how this team is built. The offense didn't hold up their end of the bargain. 45 rushing attempts for 4 yards a carry or not. The defense actually did. They were really good in the red zone. Again, Jacoby Brissett had the one touchdown. They forced a bunch of field goals. Adam Vinatieri, for the first time this year, didn't miss half of them. You'll take that. And there's a randomness there as well whenever you say, well, hold on. You can look at all the yardage is a pretty good indicator of how a defense is doing. And that's fair. If you're really good in the red zone like the Chiefs defense was, I think, what, 3 years ago? That does feel like that you're waiting for that other shoe to drop. But playing the results just a little bit so you can evaluate what the offense needed to do in retrospect. The defense absolutely did plenty to win that game. Literally any other offensive performance under Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs do. So let's talk about the offense. In fact, I would argue one of the narratives that sits opposite that is the idea that they can't win with this defense. That's popped up, and I just think that's wrong. In fact, I think that the loss against the Colts was just as impactful as any of the wins to say, yeah, they definitely can. The offense just needs to be better. In fact, I'm going to have to leave some of the defensive, other defensive stuff for later on because I think you have to, I'm going to lose my mind if I have to talk about linebackers for the next 20 minutes. The offensive line was terrible in this game, right? I mean, it was bad. Cam Irving had his worst game as a Chief, or at the very least, his most obvious game as a Chief. Missing Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins was super duper evident in this game. They couldn't get anything going offensively. Mahomes was banged up, but honestly, I think that's less of a deal than it was after his first ankle injury at the Jags and going into the Raiders game. LeSean McCoy had a brutal fumble. There were misses and mistakes, and honestly, I don't know to tell you on those. Damian Williams should have had a touchdown. Ball out ahead of his outstretched hands by an inch. Honestly, I mean, I think it might have actually hit his fingers. It's tough as hell, but he's got to make that play. Something went wrong with Mahomes and Mecole Hardman twice, I think. Kelce had drops. Byron Pringle should have had that first down. That fourth and one play was a mess. That second and 30 handoff backed up against their own end zone when they had to go score was a living, breathing nightmare. You can pick your poison on any of that. All of that is relevant. All of that is more important than anything the defense did on the ground, through the air, otherwise, on the sidelines. Even with the problems with the pass rush and all of that, and the penalties, everything there on that line, not literally on the offensive line, but I mean partially, everything through that list there of offensive-based things all carry more weight than anything else that I think has unrightfully dominated the conversation up to this point. One of the most interesting things, after the game, Mahomes talked about the man coverage, and we talked about it on the post-game show. So they played man coverage, the Lions played man coverage, the Patriots played a lot of man coverage in the AFC Championship game. They were all physical, and they got there with four. And all three of those teams also did that. Because again, offensive line, not good in this game. I'll talk more about the offensive line soon because there have been some tweets and comments that have popped up on that topic that have made me a little wild. I'll get to that. But there was a graph tweeted out yesterday by at NFL Research. It's like an actual verified NFL-based account. And I thought it was absolutely fascinating. Following that Lions game where the man defense worked pretty well against the Chiefs, even as they ultimately ended up winning that game, this shows the percentage. I retweeted this earlier as well. It shows the percentage of how much man coverage Colts defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus has played as DC of the Colts starting in 2018. So it's got, you know, 20-ish games, 20, 21, whatever. It has the chart of the opponents played against and then how much man coverage they played. So as far as percentage of man coverage, you got 9.4, 9.8, 22.7, 9.6, 11.4, 10.6, all of that. Everything, the highest man coverage rate they had played in these 20... I mean, there's a playoff game, whatever. These 20-some games under Eberflus, the most man coverage they played was 25.6% against the Chargers in the first game of this season. Second game of this season against the Titans, 11.4%. Week 3 against the Falcons, 5.9%. Week 4 against the Raiders, 15.6%. I know this is a lot of numbers. Here's the payoff. 25.6% is the previous high that they've played under this DC. Against the Chiefs, they played 73.3% man coverage. This has been a zone defense for 20 games. And against the Chiefs, they played as much man coverage as they've played zone in this last year and change. I find this fascinating because this has not been their thing. This has not been their aptitude. This hasn't been something that they've, I mean, I'm sure they've practiced it. They've played it in games at most a quarter of the time. But they said, hey, we saw what happened last week against the Lions. Let's give them all the man coverage they can handle. I think that's absolutely fascinating. Now, can the Chiefs overcome that and beat that before every team in the league does it to them all year long? Yeah, absolutely. How will they do that, you may ask? Tyreek Hill. You can't cover Tyreek Hill one-on-one. And if you give help to cover Tyreek Hill, then you're probably now either going one-on-one with Travis Kelce or you literally have no help anywhere else. And at that point, you can just find Hardman, Robinson, Byron Pringle if it needs to be, running back out of the backfield, someone who is in the most advantageous matchup with no help. That will become much easier to find in this offense because Hill is either demanding the attention or he is straight up making it so difficult for you. And Sammy Watkins being able to play, he didn't play on Sunday. He was out there for a second and then disappeared. Those guys can beat corners one-on-one if you even dare challenge them that way. And if you don't, they demand attention. If they demand attention, someone else doesn't. Now, I tweeted about that graph, and I got like three different responses that I agreed with parts of all of these, right? Somebody tweeted in and said they were super injured but played very little zone in this game. It's like they saw what happened to their cover two in the playoffs and went away from what got them killed. Really wondering if the Chiefs were shell-shocked from not seeing what they'd game planned for. It's a good tweet. Makes an interesting point. Interesting observation. I wonder that too. Okay, different tweet. Most teams don't need a Tyreek Hill versus man. Andy Reid doesn't have any man beaters and needs to improve. We saw the same thing last year against the Patriots and Broncos. Just lean on incredible plays from his players. Need pick plays, bubble screens, shallow crossers, etc. I disagree with the idea that Andy Reid doesn't have any man beating plays. But I would say that the idea that Andy Reid needs to improve and focus in on that category, I bet he's doing that at Arrowhead right now. So I would agree with that tweet. Like 80% of it. Another tweet. Won't say there's no reason for concern, but when all types of bad happen all game long and you have the ball down only 6 with 5 minutes left, that still shows me that this team will be okay. Plenty of things need to be cleaned up and quickly, but panic is unwarranted. Yep, absolutely agree with that. I agree with all three of those things from very different perspectives and different angles. I think all of that is true, which whenever all of that is true, if you can triangulate that, the spot you end up back in the middle, I think will leave you feeling relatively sane. But it is also kind of a mess. I mean, I get it. I understand why you're frustrated or concerned, or why you think you shouldn't be frustrated or concerned. There's space in there. But if we're going to do blame talk radio, the offense was the thing that let the Chiefs down on Sunday night. Now, why is that? What all plays into it? We need to take a break, so I'll tell you on the other side of the commercial. It's Almost Entirely Sports here on Sports Radio 810.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Let's go ahead and test that. Okay, ready?
Sure.
I'm going to say the name, and you're going to hit the beep button as we get ready.
Cool.
Colin Kaepernick. What did you think that was going to... How did you think that was going to work, my dude?
With Joshua Briscoe.
Here, let's do it again. This time you can do it first, and we'll see how it goes. Ready?
Okay.
Colin Kaepernick. You still heard me say it. It's also with a beep. You dope. You fool.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We can bring you some baseball here in a little while. If you want to catch Rays versus Astros, they're up 3-0 right now. It's on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. But I bet you're going to hang out with us here. We have Sad Fans on Reddit coming up here in just a minute. I'm going to make a salient point, and then Beards is going to bring us his latest masterpiece. But on the conversation about the offensive line, as bad as it was on Sunday night, there have been a lot of questions and conversations about, like, well, hey, why is it so bad, and how do you fix it? And the Chiefs actually signed a guy that I've got some information for you on. I don't know when we'll get to it tonight, but we'll get to it at some point. But a couple people have said, oh, the Chiefs have ignored the interior offensive line. They've been cheap on the interior offensive line. And because a few people have mentioned that, I want to address it. They have not ignored their interior offensive line. They have not been cheap across the line as a whole. Frankly, that's a pretty absurd argument to make when Rodney Hudson and Zach Fulton, after really strong starts to their career in Kansas City, interior offensive linemen, went and got big paydays elsewhere. I know Rodney Hudson wasn't a Reed draft pick and all that. None of that really matters to me. They were here, and they went and got a bigger payday because they outpriced the Chiefs. Mitch Morse, who was here and was a high pick as well, just got too expensive. They gave LDT a $41 million contract extension. That's not cheap. They're obviously paying Eric Fisher and Mitch Schwartz on the ends. 3/5 of this offensive line is expensive. Both tackles are really good. Mitch Schwartz is the best lineman across that line. But Eric Fisher, I think you're starting to see a little bit better now, maybe, that he is a value even at his salary. What the Chiefs chose to do is for Wiley and Ryder, they're going to get them at super low cap hits and then try to have the veteran play of the rest of the line around them prop those guys up until they get their footing. The problem is now those guys are dropping around them, and the Chiefs were essentially gambling on that whole strategy to make the center and left guard spot work at a value. And that is the gamble there. So I'm saying, well, why is that the gamble? Because that's a salary cap sport. I mean, that's why. You can't trade for Jalen Ramsey and then sign him and then draft a lineman in the first round or sign a lineman, God forbid, in free agency to some massive contract and extend Chris Jones and pay Mahomes and all of it and then be paying Sammy Watkins and then also draft Mecole Hardman. Say, oh, well, next year they need to draft these guys. Draft interior linemen. Draft offensive linemen and defensive linemen next year. Okay, well, how about a cornerback? What happened to the linebacker? What happened to you want to go defensive tackle or offensive tackle? Or you want to add a running back? Does that matter still? What about a defensive end? Is Chris Jones saying you're leaving? They don't have any corners under contract next year other than Charvarius Ward. Do you want them to address that position? You see the problem here. Football, and the NFL specifically, is a game of limited assets. And so the Chiefs said, we're going to invest in the majority of our offensive linemen and hope we can get good production out of two guys on the cheap. And frankly, Wiley and Ryder have both had their moments last year and this year, and that offensive line has started looking much worse since Eric Fisher has been out. And really, Sunday night was the real example of that. That's really what we're talking about here. And so you get LDT, Fisher, and Schwartz are your third, fourth, and sixth highest paid players on the team this year. You just got to pick your spots. Not paying a guard and a center, and again, relying on everyone around there to build a better infrastructure and prop them up is super reasonable. And it was working until Fisher got hurt. Frankly, it was even working, I would argue, until Sunday night. And until Justin Houston wrecked shop. They should have kept Justin Houston. With what money? You gave it all away. All of the money is gone because you've signed everyone in this fictional world. Sometimes I think we forget a little bit about the limitations this board exists in. I also feel like I've had some really negative energy today. So, Beards, I'm going to need you to turn this show around with some sad fans. You think you can do that for me?
Well, it's going to be sadder. That's for sure.
So, we do sad fans on Reddit every week. It's usually the team the Chiefs are playing.
I had a lot of good Colts content that will never
so
be heard
much.
Now.
So much good Colts content that just disappears. Because whenever the Chiefs lose, we're an equal opportunity sad fans crew here. We can laugh at other teams, but whenever the Chiefs lose, misery loves company. And so if you're not ready yet and you want to change the channel and come back on the podcast, if you're listening on the podcast, you need to pause it. Maybe give it a shot tomorrow. Maybe go chug a Red Bull and try to get some energy going before you hear this. I totally understand.
Yes.
Totally understand. Beards is warning us that it's going to be very, very sad. Beards, let's get sad.
And now, a list of things that Kansas City Chiefs fans said on Reddit.
I was choking up.
Just hold Houston every play. If memory serves, he can be held every single play and not get a call.
Oh, no!
As a Redskins fan as well, this is the Breland that I'm familiar with.
Oh.
Our end zone is now located in the emergency room. So glad Houston is gone and we have this Clark guy. Texans put up 50 today against the Falcons. This D needs to find some sort of miracle healing water and drink a ton of it. 1 trillion penalty yards equals a lost ball game. Granted, about 400 billion of them were bull. Comments. Primetime games and the Chiefs the bed. Name a more iconic duo.
Yeah.
Reply. The Chiefs and heartbreaking losses in the playoffs.
Mm-mm.
Imagine being named after the Third Reich. I don't bet, and I'm not a Chiefs fan, but I bet tonight a lot on the Chiefs. Of course, they lose tonight. Who are these football gods who exist only to bring misery and to trusting football fans? Well, our O-line is our run defense is garbage, our play calling is whack, but at least our golf cart works. For all of you younger fans, welcome to the curse of the Colts.
Ah, that's true.
This is losing the wild card round caliber Chiefs right here. This old f***er misses 4 kicks to hand the Chargers a win and then comes in and drills 4 kicks against us. Holding on the defense on a run play. And then they show a big run and a KC player getting held. Nice. This game is brought to you by the color yellow. Yellow. F*** you. This is the least fun I've had watching a Chiefs game in a while. Breland can 100% get the off the field.
For who?
This game reminds me that my anger issues still exist. My hole clenches in anticipation of a DPI every time a Colts receiver falls down. I love it when the announcers bring in their official, actually guy after every penalty. I am straight up not having a good time. Irving is 2 inches away from being banished from KC for life. Every time we run the ball, I die a little inside.
He's also 2 inches away from touching Justin
Tom Brady
Houston
sits
on 4th and 1.
This defense is such a killer. What's a punt? Do not like. Offensive line doing everything they can to make Mahomes into Luck 2.0. Can we go back to destroying teams? You Cam Irving, you useless fat...
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
I can't find Justin Houston. Which side of the field is he in coverage on? Comment. Now accepting O-line auditions. Reply. I may not have the size, but I'm pretty good at standing still. Will that work? Now accepting auditions for every single football position except for quarterback and safety. Seriously, launch everybody else to the back corner of the universe. Comment. I really hope that guy from Thailand didn't stay up for this. Reply. I think you mean me, and I live in Taiwan, and it's nearly noon now, and the rest of my day is going to really suck. Damn, we held them to under 20 and lost. Breland should have fouled out of the game. Comments. Skip Bayless and Colin Cowherd are furiously right now. Reply. With tweezers. Hey, can Frank Clark start complaining about his helmet this week? Maybe we could spend that money on effective players. Can Mahomes file a grievance against Cam Irving? Another one of our players just got injured walking to the locker room. Please, Lord, if you're up there, let Fisher, Hill, Watkins, whoever else is playing musical chairs at left guard, Shady Williams, and our entire D-line get healthy.
Shady was the word.
Please.
Amen.
Can't win them all, especially when half the team dies and you foul every three plays. Put the mascot in as a lineman.
Oh, that would have been
I'm
so good.
I'm 6 foot six and 220 pounds. We'll eat for O-line contract. Sports are dumb. Unless my team wins, then they're good. We've discovered the kryptonite for this team, facing backups on defense. Can we cancel the Frank Clark trade, or is it too late? Holy he's invisible. Also, one Quentin Nelson, please. This ruins our chances at an undefeated season. My face in, that was horrible to watch. Jacoby Brissett. At home.
Ugh.
Why? We need to teach our players the rules so we have less penalties. That is my expert opinion. This should be a fun week of overreactions and hot takes.
You're
Talk
welcome.
About slamming your d- in a door. Comments. We didn't run the ball much. Reply. We didn't offensive line much either. Feach sucks.
Oh, the remix.
Was this the game that that little girl got to see for her birthday? Damn. Comments. I would put up with a PR nightmare to sign Antonio Brown. Am I alone?
Oh.
Replies. You are alone. Very alone. Yes. Hell yeah, you're alone. Yes. Yes. And now, the winner of things that very sad Chiefs fans said on Reddit. Why is just Jacoby Brissett wearing the captain thing on his jersey? He hasn't proven anything except for having a nice fat ass. I spent the last 6 weeks thinking about this. I'm now in the position of arguing with myself for what the f*** to do about it. I'm not going to get mad because I'll likely never be mad at Jacoby Brissett until the day he dies, but what do I do at this point? The thing is, there's no other way. His ass is as good as it'll get. And it shows no sign of slowing down. Because you had a bad day, you take it one down, you
sing a sad song just to turn it around. You say you don't know. I hope someone out there felt better at the end of all of that. I felt a little bit better. What was that guy's deal with Jacoby Brissett's ass?
I don't know. There was more to that, but it didn't have to do with that. Just that snippet there was the best part.
Oh, good
I found
work.
That one early, and I was like, oh, this is winning no matter what.
Good
no
work,
matter
Bates.
What happens, this is the winner.
Right, it's a great point. It could have been that could have been a Chiefs fan or a Colts fan. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Could have been neither or both. It literally doesn't matter. Because if you write a small fan fiction about Jacoby Brissett's ass, that's going to be the funniest comment we have all day. Good work, Beards. That, against all odds, I think might have been some of your best work.
It's very good.
Which also, I guess, means the Chiefs have funny fans, which seems right to me. That's sad Chiefs fans on Reddit. It gets better from here, folks.
Hopefully.
Also, hopefully it gets better on the show. Seth Kizer will join us at 8 o'clock. Go to break, Beards. You had a bad day.